Hello, everybody. Natalia, can you hear me? This is Amanda.
Hi, Amanda. Yes, I can. Good to hear your voice.
You too. All right. Well, we can go ahead and get started. It's just a couple minutes after the hour, and we have a nice group of people online already or on the phone. So, Natalia, did you want to start with anything today before we go into questions?
I think the only thing that's been on my mind lately is the insane busyness that everyone is experiencing. It's only been kind of amplified by all the social media and the way we communicate these days, and everyone's expectations for of each other is just it all just runs so much against our ability to hang on a second. To connect with ourselves, much less with each other in meaningful ways. And whether it's with business or with friendships, with family relationships, I think that we're being spread so, so thinly and not getting enough meaning in our lives while we're trying to meet up with all these little details, little things that wind up stealing and robbing us. And I think that's just something I want to draw everyone's attention to, because it will leech your life. And we can't let that happen. and the only other thing that I was thinking about, too, which we can expand upon if anyone wants to later in the call, is the habits that we get ourselves into, that we think we're stuck in, that we can't get out of. And in fact, if we can get out of them, they're the very things that will liberate us and give us joyful lives. But whether it's attachments to eating too much or to certain things that you feel like you need to. It's usually around consumption. Habits usually have to do with consumption or behavior. Behaviors that are unfavorable, the habits that we're talking about to sabotage our lives. So I just wanted those two kind of the big the pillars of our devastation that I think we just should shine a light on in some way, even if it's just to think about how it affects us personally and how we fall into those traps personally. And that's pretty much it, Amanda. Just light, light things today, really light.
Very light. The day after 4th of July, yes. And I think, it'd be great to hear from anybody. If you have ways that you are working through some of the challenges that Natalia brought up. The first one for me, it's very much about creating boundaries for yourself and knowing when you are feeling imbalanced and what you need for yourself to bring yourself back into balance, and then actually doing those things.
That's a great one. That's such a good one. I mean, that alone. But, people really need to understand what that means.
Right.
So do you want to talk a little bit more about that? Because that will really help so many people if they can do that.
Well, okay, so I can just say, from personal experience, I will feel times when the computer is a great example for me, just because I do work virtually, and so much of what I do is on the computer. And then, like you mentioned, then you bring in, I live, 3,000 miles away from my family, so much of my communication with them is now on the computer. I'm 6,000 miles away from you, Natalia, so, there's a lot of computer time. So when I feel that imbalance, and when I feel the imbalance, I'll start getting a headache, or my eyes just kind of start hurting, or I'll get irritable. That's when I know that it's just, okay, there's an imbalance right there, and what can I do to get back in balance? And for me, a lot of times it's, okay, it's time to shut down the computer, and that's fine, and I need to be okay with doing that right now. Jumping on the rebounder, going out for a walk, going for a swim, sitting down and just having a conversation with someone with a nice cup of tea. It's just like those little, again, we were talking to a friend today about yin and yang, and again, it's just that yin time to balance the yang, which is essentially what is happening within every moment of our day. It's finding that balance.
Don't you think there's a particular crowding around us that's happening now with all of this? I mean, yes, it's an obvious answer, an obvious question, but I mean, it almost just seems like everyone would like to say, I really don't want to do this anymore. I don't, stop all this, like, this mad communication? There's just too much of it in one day. I mean, we flash back to, I'm writing my son a letter at camp, and I mean, handwritten letters, are, as we know, are like just an antiquated thing now, but, you know, it used to be that we might get a couple of letters in our mailbox every day, and that's all we would see.
Mm-hmm.
And today, we go through, I mean, if you go through your inbox, there are hundreds. If you walk away from your smartphone for 15 minutes, you come back to it, and there's text and voicemails and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it's just, it's disrespectful to us as human beings to be interfacing with that. But then there, you know, there are people who have, who's how can I put this without sounding, I don't mean this in a rude way, who don't have a lot going on in their lives. So they're sending a lot out. And then the people who have a lot going on but and want to try and balance that, you know, it takes away from their ability to sustain their equilibrium and create beautiful lives by responding to so much of that. So there's the casual stuff on the one hand that's like more the social stuff, and then there is the, you know, the work stuff, the you know, and that, you know, can often be a case of people biting off more than they can chew, or you know, take or having, you know, too much required of them than can be. But it's like it starts to crowd in, and you just want to say, you know, I need a year to catch up on all this that we have to do. So can we talk about this in 2013?
Yeah, I think that's the point. I think I totally agree with you. I mean, that's part of the reason why we moved to Hawaii, and we didn't have internet access barely for a year, and so it was like this wiping the slate clean so that we could start to fill our time with what worked. But I think also it's such an opportunity for everyone to practice standing in your truth, not getting pulled into obligation. So understanding that we, in essence, if we just talk from a spiritual perspective, we are only obligated to our own spiritual evolution and unfoldment. So whereas we feel all of these obligations around us, and yes, there are things that are serving purposes and there's things that have practicality and you can't let everything go, but at the same time, we have all these things that we feel obligated to, people we feel obligated to, activities we feel obligated to. And part of the practice, I think, is letting go of things, also being okay with that might not be okay for the other person. You know, so that comes back to our fear of not being liked and not being accepted, and which goes to our fear of being abandoned and being alone. So, mm-hmm. You know, I think if we can really just sort of peel it back and say, okay, well, if we're feeling all this pressure, where is that? What program is being activated in us that is putting us in this role of feeling obligated to all of these people? Because we're not. We're not obligated to them. We're not obligated to respond to an email within 10 minutes. We're simply
or
not.
Or even like it seems, you know, with so many, if you even wait 48 hours, you have another 1,000 in your inbox, and there's no way of catching up on it to begin with. I want to address two important things that have to do with this. And the one is how that connects with the habits and everything else too. Basically, what happens is the two major things are, one, you're sabotaging your cycles. Your circadian rhythm is your master cycle, it's the master clock. And if we're using these electronics beyond the natural sort of, you know, sun going down, then certain signals aren't being able to get processed in the body in ideal ways. So if you take something like the circadian rhythm, and if and you're the kind of person that is either using screens any time after, say, 8 p.m., which most people start catching up on all sorts of things, so they need to catch up on the day between 8 p.m. and midnight, probably. And so what happens is, with that light stimulation, the artificial light, in general artificial light, but in particular this radiation, the hypothalamus sends a message to the pituitary gland to produce melatonin to put you to sleep when the sun goes down, and it increases sort of between 6 and 7 p.m. at night, depending on what the seasons are and stuff. But basically, it increases really between like 6 to 8, let's say. And then by the time, but because it's trying to prepare you to be asleep before 10 o'clock, because if you're asleep before 10 o'clock, all the internal cycles of rejuvenation are being done between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. And if this gets wonky at all, then you wind up throwing these cycles off. So things like your liver detoxing, matter moving from your small intestine into your large intestine for the morning elimination, just all sorts of blood cleansing and what the kidneys do to cleanse overnight. The cycles, if they're not done in time, and it's all, you know, just like, you know, in the morning, you know, the birds come out and then the sun comes up and all these things happen in the morning. The flowers open their leaves and their petals. This is happening in this perfect synchronicity because of the obedience with nature. When we defy nature and do these sorts of things late into the night, we're setting off a whole mixed signal that will go through the body, which means that if you have hormone imbalances, which most of the women today do, then instead of trying to fix them with putting hormones in, this is right back to the put her in her theory, right? Instead of trying to fix your hormones by putting them in, what's wrong with the way your hormones are functioning now, and why are they functioning this way? Well, it probably has a lot to do with one major factor is going to be your circadian rhythms. And I know it's really easy for someone to say, oh, get more sleep, but we really do need to tune into that cycle. And one of the biggest preventers of that is these devices and using them so late into the night. So I really want to draw people's attention to that. And then the other thing is that when this crowding comes in, when this overwhelm of responsibilities comes you start to get over full with that, then the bad habits kick in with even more power. So, you know, just want to spotlight this interconnected sort of in these issues that, you know, because they do have such a major impact on things like our hormones and our habits, which ultimately, you know, if they're out of sync, are making all our whole being out of sync. So it's really worth it to find ways to build the good boundaries that Amanda's talking about, and to set better sleep cycles, and to watch where you may be opposing nature, because where you oppose nature, you oppose every single cycle in your body.
Yeah. And I think what's challenging with this type of discussion is there isn't really like a formulaic prescription. It's not like you can just do X, Y, and Z and it'll be all good. It literally is like a step back and evaluate our entire lifestyle, our entire way of approaching the world kind of conversation. So, you know, I think within each moment we can all do our best to find that balance and to create the boundaries that we need to protect our internal energy sources and our internal balance or homeostasis. And then, you know, I think if it's kind of like the bridge that we talk about with the food, Natalia, is like if we're always on the bridge towards a paradigm that's more health-generating, that as long as we're taking steps in that direction all the time, that eventually our life, you know, we'll look back and go, wow, how did I get here? My life is much more peaceful and calm than it was. Mm. And it's, you know, been a series of steps that I've taken along the way that got me here. You know, unless you're the type of person that's ready to do something pretty big, you know, change career, change geography, change things in your life, which there's a lot of people doing that too. And, you know, I think for some people it can be that extreme that they're at that point where it's like, wow, I see where this is leading. I see where this is going, and that's not what I want for my life. That's not what I want for myself. So I'm going to make some pretty big changes and go this other direction.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to have the vision to see that, yeah, to see where things are going. And also to know that you know, we're all pioneers of the future. It's not just the people it's not the masses that are the pioneers of the future. We're all pioneers. We all determine where things go. So if we say that we don't want to be crowded by this, you know, all this media and all this information, have to work at mega speeds just to make everybody happy, then we say no, we're going to do something different. Then it's that different paradigm that winds up being created.
Yes.
And so
every time any one of us stands in our truth and holds that space for what's best for ourselves, that gives everyone else permission around us to do that same thing. So
right.
Where you may think that you saying, hey, you know what, I can't respond to you in your expected time allotment because I have to take care of me, my kids, whatever it is, mm-hmm. when you say it from a place of truth, then mm-hmm. that's giving them permission to turn around and do that in their life too, because they probably won't do too. You know, it's like all of us are in the same boat together. So
that's huge. I think if everyone always remembers that every time they feel shy about speaking up about it and creating those boundaries, trust me, you'll be the person will look up to you, they'll respect you more, and they'll totally understand and get it. But if you don't, it's just kind of like, you know, they'll think, oh, well, okay, well, I can repeat this habit with this person because this is the way this person lives. It's
right.
Like in the beginning, when the smartphones came out and stuff, up until maybe like a year ago, I didn't text at all, maybe a year and a half ago or something. I didn't text, and I actually found it really rude when somebody that I had just met who happened to get my cell phone number, maybe it was a child's mother at school or something, would text me because I thought that was really intimate. I thought, hang on, like, I don't really know this person. They're texting me. You know, they're coming into my personal smartphone space. Hang on. And then, you know, I got a sense that, oh, wait, well, this is how people communicate, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess I have to because you know, of course, I started texting back. And so they would get the message, well, okay, she communicates this way, so I can send her all these texts now. And so I guess the point is just that, you know, it's up to all of us to decide, well, what are our boundaries? How do we want to communicate? What is okay for us? What do we respond to? Who are we as receivers? Because we know a lot about who we are as givers. But how do we receive? How can we be better receivers? How can we how can we help give to others by showing them an example of how to be a receiver that can stay healthy, because as you say, that's an amazing way of the butterfly effect or the wave to reach so many people around us so that we all stop feeling that intense pressure.
Yeah.
But anyway, I know there are lots of questions and stuff to get to, and I'm ready for that too. But just really, I hope that this helps some people.
Yeah, good. Thank you for starting off with that compelling conversation. If anyone has anything that they want to add to what we're talking about, you can go ahead and press 2 on your keypad right now on your phone. If not, and if you have a question that's unrelated, go ahead and press 1 on your phone, and we can address those too. And then we have also pulled some questions from the community, so we can look at those as well. So 1, if you have a question, 2, if you would like to jump in on the conversation that we've been having. Let's see. Okay, Jennifer, go ahead.
Hi, can you guys hear me? Hi, Jennifer, yes. Well, I actually have a question for you about my dad, and I want to make sure I'm taking the right approach with him. But first, I love what you're talking about social media, because my friends get mad at me since I'm not on Facebook.
Mm.
And I tell them to pick up the phone and call me if they really want to talk to me.
Amen. Well done.
But my question for you is, about 8 years ago, he had his pituitary gland removed because he had a benign tumor due to many, many years of eating unhealthy and such. About 2 months ago, he had a scare, which landed him in the hospital. And I'm very happy for that because now he wants to actually get his act together and start eating healthier. So he stopped drinking soda and has switched to water, which is a huge plus for him as somebody who drank it for like 50 years. And he wants to start, you know, I'm trying to get him to do food combining and do all that stuff slowly. And he wants to get into juicing. And my concern with him for juicing is because he's on all these medications, I'm concerned if he doesn't want to do colonics, even if they're not by me and I just send him to somebody else, if he doesn't do that part of the work, I'm a little concerned about kicking up too many detox symptoms for him, mm-hmm. which maybe would wind him in the hospital, and I wasn't really sure if that was, if I was thinking along the right path for him.
Yeah, no, you're definitely thinking along the right path. I think in his case, you could watch and ask him to give you an update on his eliminations on his own, because he may do very well eliminating on his own temporarily until such time he feels comfortable going for a professional colonic with somebody other than you.
Yeah.
And the other thing would be just in terms of designing his diet. You know, I would have to know a little bit more about him to you know, but if I was going to take, you know, somebody like what you describe and
yeah.
put together a fundamental kind of protocol for them. Joanna, are you on the call right now? Okay,
she
I know
is.
Joanna was on. Okay,
she
because I know we talked about this just earlier today about this, but basically, you know,
sorry, I am on here, Natalia.
Oh, hi, Joanna. Okay, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just wanted to because it was funny that we were talking about something so similar today.
Yeah.
But basically, the protocol for something like this would be to give him lots of good, yummy food that he loves. It's, you know, give him the juice, yes, but give him, you know, sprouted grain sandwiches with avocados and some corn chips and, you know, let him have his yummy fish for dinner and let him have baked sweet potatoes and, you know, there he can eat really well. And if he does that and he peppers the diet with plenty of these hearty, cooked, you know, semi-dense foods, then even with the juices, he's not going to over-cleanse. But he will cleanse. I mean, he will. It's going to be such a step up as it is that you just want to make sure that the food is very much like, almost like a raw food detox level 4 or 5.
Okay.
You know, like you know, we would give to our kids and husbands that were just kind of not sure about, you know, whether this food would taste good, and let them see. Not that he has to be convinced. He obviously is very gung-ho right now, but he needs to have this. This sort of denser category of foods right now and more cooked. And if you do that, you have to worry about the fact that the juicing is going to overly awaken. But because these foods are still, you know, fairly dense and stimulating, he should have great movements on his own. And he should feel significantly better and get significantly better within, you know, a few weeks, really. He should feel the difference. And then within a few months, he should be showing distinct signs of turning these symptoms around.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, no, he can really have fun with it. You know, when somebody approaches it at that level, they can just eat really well. So that's what I would focus on.
Excellent.
And if you want to, you know, if you want to get in touch with me separately, if there are any details you want to share or anything, I'd be happy to help.
Thank you very much. Yeah, he's. Okay. I think I have him on the right track. I just have to get him to actually follow.
Okay, good. And just make, yeah, as long as the really sort of heinous stuff is out, you know, if you do the guiltless gourmet chips or you want to make homemade beet, carrot, sweet potato chips, even in a little bit of, you know, coconut oil or organic butter, as long as the ingredients are really good, the food can be really varied.
Right. Okay.
All right. Keep us posted.
Yep. I will. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Pleasure.
Thanks, Jennifer. Okay, let's go to a question that we had on the community. Okay, I have IBS and have been on a diet of soluble fiber for many months now. My diet contains mostly fish and poultry and sourdough French bread along with steamed vegetables. I am lactose intolerant and do not have any dairy products. I love coconut milk and I do not have salads at all. I do eat many avocados and love them. I have received my information from Eating for IBS by Heather Van Voorhis. I have purchased your book, Detox for Women, and my basic concern is eating salads and raw vegetables, which tend to be a trigger food for IBS.
Right. Well, in the medical context, they would be. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to blend them up because the IBS is inflammation. It's inflammation due to overaccumulation and the bowel just, you know, being, for lack of a better term, angry and easily agitated. So if you take the concept of the substances that should go in and the awaken release approach, and just make sure that the raw vegetables that are going into the body are either very, very well chewed. They can be shredded. Like if you're going to have carrots, shred the carrots. Shredded carrots, shredded cabbage, shredded, you know, beets if you wanted to. You could just basically make sure the food is well broken down before you even start chewing it. And then chew it really well. You can do blended soups, things like the pumpkin pie in a bowl. Blended salads are great. And your bowel will eventually strengthen. So the variety of the foods you'll be able to eat and the raw vegetables will change. You know, within a year, you'll start to be able to eat a lot of raw vegetables you couldn't just eat in their raw, crude, you know, give it a munch form. But for now, the raw vegetables should be done either blended or shredded or chewed really well. In the case of leafy greens, though, let me back up. So leafy greens, if they're chewed decently, they shouldn't cause any problem. I'm talking about those cruciferous vegetables that can be more troublesome. So those should be blended or shredded. And then there's the rest of the protocol, which is going to be the cooked vegetables and, you know, things like the fish, anything that's not going to be an adjutant, an irritant, to the intestines. So, you know, obviously no nuts and seeds unless they're made into a nut butter. So you could conceivably do a kind of a tahini ice cream or a tahini dressing, but just not the whole nuts and seeds. And, you know, preferably avoiding the grains as much as possible, focusing on the root vegetables. It's definitely something you can embrace with this approach. It's what everyone with IBS should be doing. It's just a matter of knowing how to navigate the raw vegetables so they don't get under-masticated.
Okay. All right, good. Okay, some question from the dashboard, which, by the way, if you're at your computer and want to type in a question, you can go ahead and do that by clicking on the link that came in the email to you today. But the question is it best to avoid rebounding when you're menstruating? If so, what is the reason?
I think it's one of those things that if you're not opposing nature, you're fine. So I don't do inversions if I'm menstruating, but I certainly would rebound if it felt right. You know, there's no reason not to rebound, to my knowledge, when you're menstruating.
Okay.
So
all right, good.
Bounce away, as far as I'm concerned, I do.
Okay. Detox for women or raw food detox diet for a beginner? I'm brand new to the world of cleansing and detoxing. I have both of Natalia's books, Detox for Women and the Raw Food Detox Diet. Can someone recommend where to begin? Recently, I've lost weight, 15 pounds, through restricting carbs and sugar, but now I don't seem to be making any more progress. Which program is best for new people? Thanks so much.
And this is a woman, right?
It appears to be a woman, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I would say across the board, even for men, most men are so used to now too. I would say definitely start with Detox for Women, continue on with Detox for Women if you're choosing between the two. It's definitely it takes into account all the issues that, you know, women are dealing with circa 2012. So I would say proceed with that.
Okay.
And the good news is it takes into account all the food, combining all the alkalinity. It's everything. It's just the added sort of, you know, information and guidance around the modern issues. So I'll just, yeah, leave it at that.
Okay, great. And also the Rose Cleanse is basically detox for women, but even more intense. So that's the juicing till dinner and then doing a detox for women friendly dinner.
Exactly right.
Yeah, okay. So that would be an option too, but only if she's ready to do a more kind of dramatic cleanse at this point.
Yeah, I would say the better move would be do detox for women until such a time when you feel like you want to up the ante on yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
And then do the Rose Cleanse.
Okay. Okay. I really want to start a meditation practice, but not sure what to do or where to start. Does anyone have any tips for getting started? Anything specific for beginners? I assume, like this lifestyle, it starts to become second nature, but right now I'm just stuck and unsure about the process.
I need some guidance. Any suggestions or comments on your experience would be much appreciated. So anyone who actually wants to help this person, anyone who has suggestions for getting started with meditation, you can go ahead and press 2. And then, Natalia, we can address it too.
Yeah, I mean, I have my same old spiel. I think and I'll pass it along to you after that. It's just making the time for it, creating the space. I like to lie down flat. I have a few go-to guided meditations that I really enjoy that take me to a very, very deep space. So there's the guided meditation route, and then there's the getting quiet and getting into what Almeen, who's one of the women, I talk about her all the time, the modern mystic, she calls getting into eternal time. And that's different to meditation. But when I either do a guided meditation or I go into eternal time. I don't really do like a typical just quiet and close my eyes and cross my legs, sort of sit in yoga, in a Buddha pose. A lot of people do love to do that. But I would say the meditations I love are by Almeen, A-L-M-I-N-E. I mention her name all the time. And the other one is by Peggy Phoenix Dubrow. And they're all on the website if you go under the CD. I think it's under CDs. And they're all available on Amazon. But they're really, really helpful. They just take you into a very deep place. That is very rejuvenative and helps you get centered. And the messages help you create silence in your life on a day-to-day basis when you're walking through the world, which is very important. And then there's eternal time, which is when you're in the stillness of the moment and you're basically sink in with all that is. And that's different to meditation because it's not like you're trying to silence the mind so much as you're becoming one with the universe. And that's a really awesome experience. So, I commend you to, try those things. And then, Amanda, open up to you.
Yeah, I would just like to say, when you're beginning with meditation, to do your best to approach it with non-judgment and let go of feeling like it's supposed to look one certain way, because it will be, just like everything else, it will be an evolution for you, and it'll be unique for you. And so I think, if you go into it wanting to accomplish or get something out of it, you will probably be met with resistance. So one thing that is really helpful for me is to go into a quiet space, which I love my sauna for, by the way. That's another great, kind of multitasking thing is to sit in the sauna and do meditation at the same time. Just once you get in that box, and I'm talking about the far infrared sauna that we all love by High Tech Health. But anyway, so to get in there and to really go into a space of gratitude and thanksgiving for everything that you can think of in your life that you're grateful for. And in that way, you go in with a giving heart and a giving posture versus like, okay, I'm in here and I'm wanting insight and I'm wanting to have some, aha moment. It's like, okay, I'm just going to go in. I'm going to give thanks for everything that is so perfect in my life and think of every person, every situation, the fact that you're breathing, all of it, and go into that state of thankfulness. And then for me, I like to use mantras. So I love the Ho'oponopono mantra of I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, over and over. I like to time it with my breathing. I also, in the beginning, I always loved the guided meditations too because I just think it was really helpful to have someone else guide me through what to think about and what to visualize. I love Deepak Chopra's The Soul of Healing meditation, Soul of Healing. And I've also really loved the kind of meditation that is just almost like white noise, but like rainfall or the ocean or, just some sort of natural sound, which in New York I loved because it would replace the sirens and everything that I would normally hear. And that would be a way to connect with nature, and connecting with nature is always a great meditation too. And also to know that any time you bring your focus into the now moment, so any time you have that really sharp focus on what is happening right in that moment,
you become aware of your breathing, or you just become so grateful as you're looking at your child, or if you see something that just takes your breath away, any real snap into the now moment, it can be considered meditation. So, you know, if we can, the more and more we can live our lives like that, in that heightened state of focused awareness, the more our life becomes a meditation. So meditation is really just practice for the way that all of us would want to be living all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, I have a question that came in from the dashboard. That's actually two questions, kind of. Okay. What are the consequences, in your opinion, of a young man, 18 years old, who has celiacs and diabetes, taking LSD and marijuana while on a detox for women approach? And second, do you have any suggestions for a woman in her 60s who has only 4 bowel movements a year? Okay, so two totally different questions.
Wow.
The first one, 18-year-old male, celiacs and diabetes, taking LSD and marijuana while on a detox for women approach.
Well, I mean, the fact is it doesn't matter what he's eating or not eating, or his dietetic approach is. It's that he's, you know, he's putting poisons into his body, you know, into his brain that are, like, diabolical. So, I mean, it really isn't so much about whether he's eating raw goat's cheese and properly combining. It is a very delicate issue, and I think it would require, certainly, you know, obviously requires medical attention. But, I mean, at this young man's state of mind, I can't imagine what, you know, I can only imagine what it must be, and it sounds like he needs a lot of support, the right kind of support, the right kind of professional support, in every way. As far as a woman who's 64, is that right?
In her 60s, who only has 4 bowel movements a year.
Yeah, I mean, we all know. I mean, we can. It's both are very, very, like, heartbreaking scenarios. It's you know, her system is after you know, so many decades of taking in things that wouldn't leave, is now filled to the point where the colon is dead. It's got no more pulse. It's unable to mobilize anything through. It's dry. It's impacted, which means that all the organs in the body are being affected, not only by this impaction, but by the blood is becoming truly filthy. It's a septic, a terribly septic system. My heart goes out to both these individuals. I think it's a very, very difficult way to live.
I'm guessing that the first question specifically, I think she was probably wondering what taking in the drugs do while you are actively cleansing. Would it be worse that he's also trying to cleanse with his diet because he's taking the drugs? Do you see what I'm saying?
You know, it's really a half a dozen of one. It doesn't.
Yeah.
It's the whole thing is a mess. If he were doing it while eating, you know, regular mainstream foods, there would be chemical reactions happening there too. The fact is there is intense self-poisoning. And I would say, what is this young man trying to escape from that he needs such an elaborate sort of escape as
mm-hmm.
that?
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be the core question that any good therapist would hopefully ask him and get to the bottom of.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you know, really, I think if it has nothing to do with detox for women, I don't think that's going to, you know, only insofar that, you know, it would be, honestly, without seeing him, without feeling his energy, it would be impossible to say what impact he would be having. It's too far-fetched and too little information to go on.
Okay. So the woman in her 60s, is there anything that she can do to get a pulse back in her colon at this point?
Sure. Yeah. So I would start out with taking aloe twice a day, starting, you know, with the what's the one that we like, the herbal answer, raw aloe. that brand, 2 to 4 ounces twice a day. Work up to 4 ounces at least twice a day. You could do 3 times a day. And very gentle, you know, cleansing diet of lots of cooked vegetables, very cooked vegetable-centric diet. And little by little, you know, getting the waste out the door, as we know how to do. Awaken and release very slowly, very gently, definitely with the help of colonics, because there's no way she's going to, if her bowel isn't moving and this new substance hits it and awakens things, it's going to get very gassy in there, very fermented. So the waste that's holding up the show needs to start moving out with the help of you know, the hydration. So it's just nice, gentle, easy, very optimistic. You know, no reason why it shouldn't be able to be turned around. But their state of being, their state of mind, their state of heart, unless they're very, very strong, must be pretty darn numb and depressed at this stage. And I think the key is going to be to open this person up, that beautiful combination of when the waste matter starts to leave, she's going to start to feel again, not just feel happy. She's going to start to feel again. She's probably not feeling at all right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, not only does the intestine, does the nervous system run right through the intestine, but or I should say that the intestine runs right through the central nervous system, but also that's where the solar plexus is. And the solar plexus is, you know, our creative nexus. And, you know, everything just gets so incredibly stalled when the center is impacted. So I guess I say this with a heavy heart. When I hear something like this, I think of not just her, but the many, many people in life who are walking around with a body that's just gone numb and stopped functioning, and everything's, and so her future, there's a fork in the road. You know, there's the path that she's on right now that is basically the body quietly dying, and then the other path, which is her heeding the signal that feeling of silence and numbness and depression is a signal for change. It's an alarm bell. Pain is always a call for change, and that she can be courageous enough to overcome old habits and old ways of thinking, to believe in this process, because it, you know, definitely in this case is not going to be, I mean, this process is not hope in a jar. It's not false hope. It will definitely get her where she wants to go. And any one of us who has been on the other side of the cleansing road, and has found it, would just, you know, get behind her and cheer her on, because absolutely, her body can come back to life, and it would be so exciting to be part of this journey with her. So if we were to get any updates or anything, if she were to embrace this approach, I know we'll have an amazing story amazing results. Yeah,
totally. And I think this age group of women and men is particularly just it's so interesting, because yes, they are all at this fork, and it's, I think, you know, there are the ones that are thinking that the only option is to just quietly kind of slip away and die eventually. But it doesn't have to be that way. And there's so much vitality left. They have so many years left. There's so much creativity left. They are becoming the elders, the grandparents. And in the day, that was the revered position. And to really step into that role and to make life changes and to say, you know what, we don't have to age the way that it's been done. We don't have to live that sad, tired existence. We're going to make a change now, and this is going to change the world. This is going to change the way our children view aging. This is going to change everything for all of the generations that come next. And to be able to have that elder, the grandparents back in place where they are holding their position as the wise, as the ones who have experienced life and now have that that beautiful perspective that all of us are yearning for, to have them step into that role would be so amazing. And they can do it. She can do it. It's like everything she needs is there. And it's, like you said, it's courage, and it's feeling somewhere in her that call to actually make some pretty big changes, and then to just start doing them and just start doing them and know that every step she's making, I really feel this so strongly, that this age group especially, it's like everyone talks about them being a load. They're a load on Social Security. They're a load on the health system. They don't have to be. They could be the ones that create this whole new vision of what life is like in older age. And some of them will do that, and this woman can be one of them. And I just think it's awesome to have the opportunity, if she does, like you said, if she does want to share her journey, to share that with us. Because we're all rooting for them, I feel.
Yeah. And the one thing I just want to, it would be a huge leap for me to make this. I'm not making this leap in this case, but I don't know if these two individuals are related. The 64-year-old woman, or I keep saying 64, the 60-year-old woman, and the young man with celiacs who's taking the LSD. But you know, if we were to look into our lineage, and we see that there is a dysfunction, physical or mental dysfunction, emotional, an upbringing that was really inharmonious by the parent. The parent is usually going to have some, you know, major illness, and the child is going to be the recipient in some way that's going to manifest in them. And so, you know, when you hear about these, genetic inclinations causing, cancer really what I would like people to look at more and more is, well, so your grandmother had colon cancer, but, you know, what was your grandmother covering up in her life? What was she living with? What kind of husband was she married to? And so if you then also are showing signs of maybe being inclined toward colon cancer, well, maybe that has more to do with the fact that you're carrying her same programmings and same inclinations, and it's not just the physical aspect of it. And so, or if it is, something that's totally unrelated. If your father has, has liver cancer, but and you have a mental illness or in some sort of instability. This concept of, it's a biblical idea that, the sins of the parents are passed down by the generations. The Indians, of course, say that, it takes seven generations to fix something or to instill something, either positive or negative. And we are really passing, we're passing these things along. So when you just look at the picture of your life and where you have your issues, and you'll see that it'll all be reflected. Now, what Amanda's saying is so exciting, because if let's say hypothetically, this is the mother and the son. Now I'm taking it. This is not even remotely the case as far as I know. But if it were, and the mother were to heal herself, I can guarantee you that whatever is going on in the son will start to be healed as well. Because just like anything, when we start to heal the past, the future gets corrected automatically. When we live in the moment, we fix ourselves in the moment. We're actually, by doing that, fixing the past. Mm-hmm. And then medical science would see this as a miracle. We're seeing it as something that's just natural law.
Well,
and watch it.
No, go. Yeah.
Well, just watch this in your lives. Wherever you can make major adjustments to fix things that were, even if you carried something along with you and you make that adjustment, it will, you know how it'll fan out into everything in your life. It'll certainly fan out when it comes to your offspring. So this is really, really critical. It's such an important reason for us to self-heal. There are a million examples I could give, but I'll stop there.
Yeah. Well, it's a function, and this gets a little bit out there in terms of, quantum physics and things that are really hard for us to wrap our brains around, but there really is no time. Time is this perception that we have, or the linear time is a perception that we have. So when we heal ourselves in the moment, we literally are healing the past. We literally are healing the future. And so every effort we make to heal ourselves right now is healing the past and the future. And it's something that I've been thinking about lately, especially in terms of forgiveness. When we forgive ourselves, and forgiveness, I like the definition, is withdrawing value from that which is not real. So when you withdraw the value from whatever you're hanging on to, the anger, the resentment, when you withdraw the value from that emotion, and you say, you know what, I'm not going to let that rule anymore, in that way you're forgiving the past, be it yourself or someone else, and that it's like a pebble going into the water. It reverberates out, and it heals you in the moment, it heals them in the moment, and it heals the future in the moment. So when they talk all the time about they, you know, for thousands and thousands of years, but the now moment being the moment of power, it's because there really is no other time except for right now. So we kind of diverted a little bit, but I think the point is with this healing, it's never too late. And it's if she can do this now, then even if he's not her son, she's healing, you know, other people around her and her own self for the future and all of us. I mean,
yeah, we all have responsibility to heal what we see obviously needs healing, because it affects our human family and our whole planetary family.
Yeah.
Well, they have, they definitely have our support. And if there's anything, you know, that we can do to be of more help, whoever wrote in with this, please let us know.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, a question about our clothing conversation last time, or kind of adding on to the clothing conversation. And this will be the last one. So if anyone has another question, please do press 1 on your keypad, and we may be able to take one more after this. But okay. I was live on the call Thursday, but I was driving and couldn't get pulled over fast enough to ask this question. Natalia was talking about clothing. People in the community were discussing bras and what type are healthiest to wear. Some people said they are more comfortable without one. Well, I'm not there yet. So could Natalia discuss the best type and where to get them? Also, how can we expect bust size to decrease with this lifestyle?
Well, first of all, I would say that there's probably a lot of natural fibers, and if you find, to go searching, which I haven't really done on that topic, I'm sure you'd find lots of things. But my approach is that I don't like any underwire. Underwire to me is like such an offensive thing. So that's the one thing I would say: definitely no underwire with a bra. And then, I would say probably just go the sports bra route. So you feel like you've got a little support, but you're not being restrained. You don't feel like, again, it's always the question of, are we opposing nature? Now, I don't feel when and we'll know this because, as Amanda said earlier, like when she sits in front of her computer for too long, she gets a headache. If you're wearing the wrong type of bra for your natural makeup, and you're opposing nature, you will feel pain. That's why, I suppose that's why they invented the 18-hour bra. It took me forever. As a child, I thought that was the weirdest thing. I didn't know what that meant. Like in 18 hours, it's going to disintegrate or something, like Cinderella. But at any rate, you'll get the message loud and clear if you're wearing something that isn't happily worn. I actually have done something incredibly cheesy. A friend turned me on to those with the genie bra. And it sounds so funny, but they actually fit really well. And I'm sure there's something out there that's so much more natural. I hate that it's one of these really common things, but at the same time, I put it on, and it just, like, holds me in, and it's nice, and it's not an underwire, and, it feels good. But it's basically a glorified, sports bra. So, there's that sort of thing. There's some that are much lighter, like if I'm not going out or something, I'll just wear a very light kind of, not even sports bra. Sports bra is too intense. Sports bras, actually, I take that back, because most sports bras are too much, they're too hard. So I'm thinking of something that's kind of light. I need to get a brand for you, you know, so forgive me. I don't have a brand offhand. But I would just say a lightly woven, nice elasticity, but isn't constraining.
Okay, great.
What do you have to add, Amanda?
Well, you know, honestly, this is a tough one for me, Natalia, because as you know, I'm fairly well endowed.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's hard because with the diet, I've definitely noticed a decrease in my breast size for sure. But now that I'm breastfeeding, I would say I'm back up to generally what I was. But so this is really, this is not an easy one. This has never been an easy one for me because I do need the additional support or else I just kind of feel like I'm flopping all over the place, to be completely transparent. So I don't really have much to offer in terms of other solutions that are good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I like her. I'm not really ready to be, you know, braless. So
I thought maybe you were going to say that you've gone braless, and so it's not an issue for you anymore.
No. That just doesn't feel like an option for me either. That just feels like it would feel horribly heavy.
Yeah, no. To me, that kind of opposes nature, too. Although, spending so much time in Africa, you know, I see the women happily hoppling. But, you know, their boobs do get, you know, after nursing and everything and wearing, going braless, they just have these kind of long tubes that hang down, which really isn't our beat. So
I guess if we had zero vanity left, it might be okay.
I don't know if they'd be that comfortable either, though. You know, do your boobs hang low? Do they jiggle to and fro? Can you tie them in a knot? Can you tie them in a bow? Can you fling them over your shoulder like a regimented soldier? Do your boobs hang low? Anyway.
Oh, man.
But, no, I think it does feel good to feel like you're kind of, you've got something lifting you up. I usually have nothing. I'm usually like maybe a double A cup or something. But with the breastfeeding, I suddenly like have these gabunjas, and you know, I'm kind of in awe of them when I look at them. So I was like, wow, where did this come from? But so now I kind of, you know, I'm really happy to have something that holds me in so well. And in fact, when I jump on the trampoline, this actually brings up a good point. I used to just wear like one light sports bra, and now I need to wear two when I jump. And it, you know, which is so, you know, if it's helpful at all, just to know that yes, we still wear bras and we still like them. I personally don't like underwire, but
yeah. No, I hear you. It doesn't seem right. You know, there is one thing that is nice. Well, first of all, I love for working out. I love the Lululemon. They have great, very strong tank tops that have the built-in bra, that is like the only built-in bra that's ever worked for me. So for those, I think it's worth spending the extra money for if you do have this issue, especially when you're doing yoga or rebounding or whatever. The Lululemon, I think, with the thick strap is really great. Then there's also these tank tops by Theory that are really, really, they're called like tubulars or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're really snug. And that actually I can sometimes do without a bra. And it doesn't look bad at all. I think it looks fine. I don't think you can tell the difference. So that's also another.
Oh, I was going to add something. It's Joanna, because I have these bras by Victoria's Secret. They're mostly cotton, and they're just really lightweight, and they have a tiny bit of elastic on the bottom, and I find them really comfortable. I wear them all the time.
All right. Well, awesome. I think all the guys on the call are being thankful that they don't have to deal with this issue.
We'll talk about jock straps next week.
Yeah. awesome. Okay. Does anyone else have any questions or anything they want to add to this topic or any other? I wanted to mention for those of you who are doing the Rose Cleanse right now, we are checking in on the community, and we'll answer questions when they come up, and keep up the great work. And same with the community. When questions are on there that aren't getting answered, we come through those too. So thank you, everybody, for all your great questions and all the great work.
All right. Thanks, everyone, so much for tuning in again, and hope this was helpful. Look forward to chatting with you guys in a couple of weeks again.
All right. Take care. Aloha.